Welcome to a new episode of Routes Through Pokemon, and this week we are on Detour 2. I'm Shaylock.
I'm Ruby.
And together we are a father and daughter duo journeying through the Pokemon game, starting with Red and Blue, all the way till whatever games come out by the time we catch up, while also journeying through the Pokemon Adventures manga and the Pokemon anime. The last 2 weeks, we just went through, I think, 16 episodes of the anime. So now we're getting a little break before we jump into a whole lot more as we catch up a little bit on some games and manga. There's not going to be a whole lot new from Ruby and I's adventures through Gold, Silver, and Crystal, but we will have Serenity Sola back, as well as Rosella, who has also started her own game on Crystal.
Lots of Crystal.
Lots of Crystal. But before we jump into all of that, how are things going?
I've done like nothing for the past week and a half.
That's for sure. Lazy bones.
Hey, I've been sick.
That's true. Ruby has been sick, which is why I think it was our last Detour episode. The story at the end of it was originally going to be some more Violet because we had taken a long break from it, but I had to write a whole new section for different people so that we could record a story to attach to it because Ruby was unavailable.
And we were running out of time.
Yeah. So we've been trying to work around her voice a bit. This episode is actually a little out of order as well for our recording purposes, just because the one we were going to record, we couldn't for a good chunk of time because of sickness is one of the reasons, but there was some other things that came up. So we're trying to get things scheduled and put back on track, especially since we also have to schedule around another person once we get to the movie, which is coming up pretty soon. So yeah, illnesses and other people's schedules create all kinds of hurdles.
And you get to handle them all.
Yeah, well, it's fun. As far as Pokemon stuff is concerned, I've been playing some Pokemon Go. I got a Rookie D, which I was super excited about, but I wasn't able to get out and about a whole lot to try and use lure modules to get some more, because that was the way to get more without the quest stuff, because they weren't just showing up in the wild. So I think I only have the one, but that's okay. And we are now in the year of the snake with the lunar calendar, so a lot of snake-like Pokemon have been showing up in Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah. I knew we were in the year of the snake because of a game I played, Subway Surfers. They always have a second theme. Now it's Valentine's Day, but it was the year of the snake.
Ah, sure. That makes sense. Yeah, because of the Lunar New Year. Oh, I got my Prismatic Evolutions sets because I had pre-ordered those, and I knew that they were supposed to be EV-centric, so usually I only get like one Elite Box, but I got two this time. And it wasn't until after that, and I think a new set came up and has already been sold out that I do not have a pre-order on, that I realized that they were apparently a very hot commodity. A lot of people buying tons of them so they can sell them at higher prices because people want them. And hopefully we get some really good, fun Eevee stuff. For you all, the episode prior to this one, most likely, depending on how recordings and scheduling go, will probably be the first time we open them. But for us personally, this week will be the first time we open some on our Pokemon card section. Beyond that, outside of the world of Pokemon, I've been still enjoying Marvel Rivals. Play a little bit less frequently now that I'm back to work, but I've been having a lot of fun with it. And also, I'm actually getting pretty hyped for the new Superman movie.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be pretty cool.
I really enjoyed what James Gunn did with Suicide Squad and Guardians of the Galaxy for sure. So I think Superman is a little bit outside of the realm of those types of stories, but I'm very interested to see how it comes together. And it looks like it's aiming for like the very hopeful, optimistic-y kind of Superman type story, going against people not liking him. Even like there's a scene in the trailer where somebody throws something at him as they're all like the crowd is yelling at him or something. So while he's just trying to help people, so I like those kinds of stories. Mm-hmm. It fits Superman very well, I think. So. So yeah, I'm excited. I actually kind of like the new logo. I know a lot of people are like, eh, don't like it. It's not very S-like anymore. And I'm like, I don't know. It looks cool to me. I even bought a shirt.
I remember the new logo.
It's right here.
Oh.
I'm wearing it right now.
It's like almost like a crest.
Well, right. Well, and a lot
of... it is kind
of
crest.
A lot of lore, that's the house crest of L. So it makes sense to make it like look like an S, but also be an alien-like symbol. So it's not just a letter that we have. but people can make it to be an S to fit the Superman idea. I don't know. I like that kind of concept. I don't know if that's what they're going with. I actually like his costume, too, and a lot of people have complaints about that, but I think it looks cool. And yes, I do think it looks somewhat like it came from a Guardians of the Galaxy set, but that's not a problem to me.
Wait, is it going out into theaters before it comes on any channels or whatever?
Yeah, it'll be in theaters first.
I'll watch it.
We'll see. I'm planning on going to see it. And your younger sister, Rosella, she has a birthday right before it. And was like, we should do that on her birthday day. But also, it's the day before your mom's birthday. And she might want to go see it. I don't know.
Me and Grandma will be there as soon as it shows up. The very first showing.
But in that realm, I've been on a kick of watching some more Superman stuff. Like, you and I have kind of slowed down on Smallville because we have a lot of our podcasting stuff to watch and do. But we have watched some more recently, which was nice. Still in season 9. So we're getting close to the end because we only have a season and like a little over half maybe to go.
We've had like a season and a half left to go.
Well, we did take like
a year.
That's not true. But we did have like a couple months hiatus from the show. So, and I've always wanted to watch. Well, not always. I was not a big fan of the Arrowverse with where all the shows were connected with Arrow and Flash and Supergirl and all that stuff. But they had introduced a Superman in that, and I'm like, eh, whatever. But then they had their own show, which already wrapped up now. It's only 4 seasons because I think they had to wrap it up partly because now a new movie is coming out and they're rebooting everything. And they don't want people to be confused, quote unquote. Yeah, well, if you have a Superman on the show that's not connected to the Superman in the movie, it's like, whoa, wait, these aren't the same story? They're not connected?
There's
I don't think
a ton of different Supermans. What?
Yeah, it seems silly. But I started hearing a lot more good about it, and I've seen clips from it that made me a little bit more interested, so I started watching it, and after a couple episodes in, I'm like, I actually really like this show. I should see if your mom wants to watch it with me, because she likes to share that stuff. And so, yeah, we've been slowly working our way through it. We're still in season 1, but it's been enjoyable.
Gonna say the name of the show.
Oh, sure. Superman and Lois. Sorry.
Wait, yeah. That was Lewis and Clark.
So, yeah, the show is called Superman and Lois, 4 seasons. It is certainly not Lewis and Clark. Lewis and Clark are explorers.
We just watched the movie, so it's probably that one movie making hero.
Almost Heroes. Almost Heroes. Where they were racing Lewis and Clark. Now, there's another Superman show from the 90s that I grew up watching that I've also been rewatching because I don't think I ever saw all the episodes, and that one's called Lois and Clark.
Different. That's what I said.
You said Lewis and Clark. Lois Lane. Lewis, which was a guy.
They're both like, you could pronounce it either way.
Sure.
Everyone knows what I'm talking about when I say Lewis and Clark. They know I'm talking about the show, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway. Yeah, we're slowly working our way through that. We have a few other shows that we're enjoying as well. Like, I've been watching Resident Alien with my wife. We watch a little Parks and Rec because I didn't watch that when it was on TV. And I've started to actually get kind of into it. It took a few seasons to do so, but pressure from my friends. They're like, you just got to get through the first few seasons. So I'm like, I don't usually do that, but okay.
I don't like it when you have to watch the first few seasons.
To get into it? Yeah.
Like, because then you just want to skip to the good part, but if you do, then there's no, like, backstory.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that's true. I guess a lot of people did tell me to just skip them and not push through. They just said, I'll just skip to, like, season 3 or season 4 or something. And I'm like, I personally, like, the way I work, I cannot do that.
I used to not work that way. Like, when you introduced me to Mandalorian, I'm like, let's just skip to the one with Baby Yoda. But now I like to start from the beginning, which is hard to do with all my siblings. Especially if I find a show everyone likes, then they watch random episodes and then I get lost.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that can be frustrating. I get that. But it is, I think, a good thing to have shows that you share an interest in, because then you can talk about them and be excited about them.
Yeah, I do prefer it probably when they like it, but still. They never say the show's name right. They say the most common thing, so it's pretty obvious what they're talking about, but they don't say the show's name right. Like, I watched Bunked. It was Camp Kikiwaka, which makes sense if you've seen it.
Right. It's in the theme song, right? They don't say Bunked in the theme song, I don't think.
No.
But they say Camp Kikiwaka. Kikiwaka. Multiple times, I think. But it is really funny because Bunked is so much shorter and easier to say.
Well,
usually when people, like, say the wrong name for a show, it's a shortened thing, you know?
They just say what they know it by.
Yeah.
Then there's been a couple other. The other one I remember, it's not that much different at all. But the name of the show is just Jesse. But every time they think about it, they say, "Hey, Jesse," because that's what they say in the theme song over and over.
Right.
So it's always, "Hey, Jesse" is the show name. Not just,
that's funny.
That's not a big difference.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. That's going on right now that I can think of, at least. So without anything else to say, I guess we'll move on to what we have accomplished in the game so far, which we haven't, like, progressed any further in our journey, but we did do a couple other things. So in Crystal, I thought it would be fun to try to see if I could find Professor Oak somewhere, like at Mr. Pokemon's house again. So I tried going to talk to Professor Elm, and I went to Mr. Pokemon's house, and when I was at Mr. Pokemon's house, Mr. Pokemon was like, "Hey, you know, I would really like a red scale. So if you would trade it to me, I'll give you something." I'm like, "Wait a second. I have a red scale. I remember that. We got it from the Gyarados catching." So I gave it to him, and so in Crystal, I got my second EXP share, which was funny since I had already had one before because of the prizes. And then I went to Goldenrod City, and I found I won a second prize. It was a lower level prize, but I still got another one. So now I've gotten two prizes in Crystal while still getting none in silver, and you nothing in gold. We'll have to check those again.
I keep checking them. I think we need to do more trades and stuff.
I don't really think, like, well, there's not very many people to trade with. If we trade with your mom and Rosella and Flame, who I think is going to start playing some silver, that'll give us at least three more numbers that will give us better chances.
Oh, it's encouraging you to go trade with other people.
Yeah, it's not different Pokemon, it's different people.
I thought it was different people in the game they wanted you to trade.
Actually, I think that counts too. So if you find other people that will trade Pokemon in the game, that will also count. Because that was how I got my first one. The Machop trade gave me one in Crystal.
But I thought that it was just from the game.
Yeah, I think the numbers are just randomized, and if they line up with any of the IDs that you end up having a Pokemon for, which, you know, the different trainers in the games have their own specific IDs. So
maybe we need those Pokemon in our party.
No, you don't need them in your party. I double-checked on that.
Oh, okay.
So we have the trade from Shuckle. I think that probably one counts, because we had the Shuckle one, where we got that extra Shuckle in Cyanwood. And then there was the Machop trade. And I think there's some other trades that... Oh, and we did the Onyx trade really early on in Violet City.
Is it Violet City from Kanto?
No.
Oh, okay.
Violet City is where Faulkner's gym is. And Bellsprout Tower. Or Sprout Tower.
Oh, yeah!
And he wanted a Bellsprout, I think. And so he gave us an Onyx.
Wanted a Bellsprout instead of Onyx?
I think so.
Maybe that Bellsprout was like... I don't remember the name from that Shuckle episode.
Spoopy?
Spoopy! Spoopy was so funny.
He was. So yeah, we have a few, but I think that means I'm going to want to do trades even if they're for Pokemon I can catch normally. It's like, oh, I have this. If you trade me this, and I'm like, well, I don't care. But if it means I get more numbers to possibly win prizes at the radio station, maybe I should do it. But anyway, so I got that EXP share, so I'm like, oh, hey, Ruby, we should do that in our other games. So we did. So now, in our Gold and Silver games, we finally have EXP shares. So that's fun.
One
so,
EXP share.
Yeah, each. We each have one. So we get to use that, and we've been just leveling up Pokemon, trying to fill up our Pokedex a bit, since we can't go further in the story yet with watching the anime and everything. Which is great, because when we watch the anime, we just work on leveling up for a bit. I mean, because it is a little tedious, but if we're just sitting there watching the show, why not? And then I also stopped. I don't think I've done it in silver yet. Oh, no, I did do a little bit in silver. I don't think you've done it in gold yet. But in Crystal, I have fed the cow that was sick berries, because I found out they need berries. Because if you talk to the people, they want berries.
I don't think you even told me.
I did. They still haven't healed up yet, so I have not fed them enough berries, apparently.
Lots and lots of berries.
So when we get the chance, keep feeding that cow some... Or sorry, cow. I keep calling it cow. Miltank. Some berries.
It is cow.
I mean, basically. Or is it your mother?
What?
Because of the last Detour episode, she read the Pokedex entry. Anyway. So yeah, besides that, yeah, we've just been leveling up Pokemon. I think Crystal has one that they need to evolve that you and I have already evolved, but Crystal and you definitely have more to evolve that I've already done in silver.
Right.
But I think we have like 6 new Pokedex entries to do this time around. Because in Crystal, I did finally get my Typhlosion and trade them around through the game. So we got that going. And you had finally got your Staryu.
I got it, like, as soon as we were done. Jeez.
So we'll be able to do all those Pokedex entries.
Finally. There's some other ones that you could be like, you finally evolved that. Sure, kind of. But like the Flaffy. Staryu. But I was evolving up things. You don't get to choose what I evolve.
That's true, but I caught up to what you evolved and evolved other things as well.
We both evolved others.
We started off that way, and then I was like, oh, she already has those, so I should catch up on those. And then evolved more things.
Well, some of mine are higher levels than you probably want.
So yeah, I think that's all we got. So in a minute, we'll bring in Serenity Sola and Rosella and catch up on how they're going in their crystal games and how much fun they're having with it or not. And after that, we'll have our Pokedex entries. And then we'll bring in Flame for some more manga coverage. Yeah, we'll be covering, what, 7 chapters? Is that right? 6?
6 or 7.
Something like that.
First half is... there's
of volume 10? Is it volume 10?
Yep, volume 10.
Sounds good. Where we get to meet Crystal. Okay, so now we're bringing in Serenity Sola and Rosella, who are both journeying through Crystal and I think fairly well tied up together and where they're at. So, Rosella, how has your journey been going so far through this new Pokemon game for you?
I have evolved my Cyndaquil, which its name is Firestorm.
Firestorm?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because isn't that like the Japanese name or something?
It might have been.
Because we're both like, they should have just kept that. And then, yeah. So I fought the gym of, what's it called? The flying gym. And I lost the first time.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So did Serenity.
What, you lost the first time too?
If Dad says I did.
Your mom doesn't remember a lot of what she does.
Okay. But then I went to Bellsprout Tower, leveled up my Pokemon, caught some more Pokemon, and then I went back to the Pokemon Center, and then I went and fought, and I won.
Very nice.
And then when I was going through the cave, I kept using repels.
Because you didn't want to fight too many Pokemon?
What are repels?
To keep Pokemon away from you for a certain amount of steps.
Oh, why has no one told me about this?
Because every time I try to talk to you about anything, you get angry with me.
Uh-huh. Oh, and I accidentally set my game to where when it's daytime in the real world, it's nighttime in the game.
Yeah, you switched up your AM/PM setting.
By accident. It was confusing, but I think it's cool.
Did you stop by the ruins of Alf at all?
Oh, yeah. I did the puzzle, and I got the same thing wrong as, I think, Shaylock and... He helped me fix it.
Shaylock and Ruby and Serenity, we all did the same thing.
Okay. And then I knew what Pokemon it was. It was like one of those older fossil Pokemons, I think. It's like, it looks like a bug with red eyes. And it's brown.
Omanyte.
Kabuto. Yeah.
Kabuto.
Yeah. That guy.
All right. Omanyte's the one with the shell, isn't it?
Blue tentacle one.
Whatever.
Okay. And then Shaylock said it would send me to a cave, and I'm like, wait, how do I get there? And then it just dropped me into the cave.
Yeah, with all the unknown.
And I think I caught 2.
You got 2 unknowns?
I think so.
Nice.
They're both different. Yeah, my unknown things are Ka and Michi. One, I think, is an E.
Okay.
So it looks like the C with a line through it. And then Ka, I don't know. He just looks like an unknown to me. It almost looks like it starts to be a Z, and then there's a circle for its eye on top, and then a weird shape on its head. So, yeah. But then I was in the woods, and I learned Cut after I got Farfetch'd, and I learned Cut and stuff.
No, you just skipped right through the woods, huh? No other gyms in the way.
Wait, there was another gym.
That's okay.
I'm forgetful. What was the other gym?
It was the Bug Gym in Azalea Town.
I think I remember that, kind of.
It's probably an easy one for you since you had Quilava.
Yeah, that might just be because I burned through it and then left.
Did you talk to Kurt in Azalea Town? He makes Pokeballs.
Oh, yeah, I talked to him.
Okay. And did you do the Slowpoke well?
Yeah. I forgot about this. And I'm like, it's so mean to just cut off Slowpoke's tails.
For sure. So then from Azalea Town, I think that's about where Serenity, I think she actually finished the gym while she was recording last time. So then you both ended up in the woods where you had to catch Farfetch'd.
Or get him back to the thing.
Right. Chase him around. Was that fun?
I just didn't really care.
I just didn't care.
I was like chasing him and then he ran the opposite way and I'm like run around him and then scared him back that way. So, and then I ran around the town looking at everything and then I found where I needed, I could get an Abra from. Those games were hard.
Oh, you were trying to get an Abra from the game corner?
Yeah.
Ah. If you explore the grass in the route before Goldenrod City, between the woods and Goldenrod City, you can run into Abra.
Yeah, Abra showed up after I got the two and defeated the gym and everything. Or got two. I got two and then traded one for...
Wait, you got two Abra from the game corner?
Yeah.
That's impressive. Good job. Me and Ruby have not done really anything with the game corner. All right, so you got through the woods, you got into the game corner, and got some Abra from it. How was your journey through the woods, Serenity?
I don't know. What woods?
The ones with Farfetch. And there was a little boy.
Yeah, I got through it.
I think you probably were running from battles, was that right?
Well, I was trying to.
I dodged.
And I didn't know what I was supposed to do, so that was annoying.
I dodged as many battles as I could.
Par for the course with this game.
Yeah, I was surprised when you were playing it, though, because you just, like, whipped through there, whipped through the gym, and just kept on going. Did you both leave any Pokemon at the daycare center?
I left a little birdie.
I think I love
Pidgey or something.
Okay.
I love something.
You can actually leave two Pokemon there. Depends.
Maybe the one with a little eggshell. Togepi?
Oh, you left Togepi there?
I'm bringing Togepi with me.
Yeah, you can leave two Pokemon there, because if you talk to the lady, she'll let you leave a Pokemon, and the guy will let you leave a Pokemon. And then if they're compatible, after a while, they'll have an egg.
A baby? Wait, so if I put two Pidgeys in there, one's a girl, one's a boy.
You would get a Pidgey.
Ooh.
But you can, basically the Pokemon have to be of the same egg group, which I don't remember exactly how that all works. So they don't always have to be the same Pokemon. But then the Pokemon that's born, I think, is always the mother's type. But another option is to just get a Ditto and leave a Ditto in there.
How do you get Eevee?
You can't yet.
Aww. Aww, Eevee.
So, what else did you guys do in Goldenrod City? She obviously did the game corner and got some Abra, which is kind of impressive because me and Ruby mostly just skipped the game corner.
I don't know.
Did you trade for a little Machop?
From a Machop?
A Machop.
I did not.
There's a guy in the department store or whatever that you
need an Abra, then you trade it, and you get a Machop.
There's also a radio station in Goldenrod City that has a contest, and the more people you've traded with, the better chances you have of winning a prize, and it resets every week, so.
Oh, so I knew that, but I did not know that the more you trade.
The more different people that you've traded with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started off talking to, like, everyone everywhere all the time, and then I was like, okay, this is not helpful at all. So then I started skipping some of them. Then y'all are like, no, they told you to do this. I'm like, no, they didn't. They gave me random facts.
Wait, why would your screen flash?
Because I'm poisoned.
Oh, you should heal your Pokemon.
So, how did your gym battles go with Whitney then, and fighting all the trainers in there and everything?
So I battled one trainer, but like I walked over to her and she walked right up to me, and when we finished the battle where I won, I was trying to go forward again, but she was blocking the way, and I'm like, yep. Move!
That was the first one I fought too.
So I had to, so I went and healed my Pokemon and then came back.
Oh, you cheated.
She was blocking my
way.
But
you can just go around the other way.
I have a bicycle. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do have the bicycle?
Mm-hmm. Nice!
So, apparently, they both went into the bicycle shop that's kind of tucked away in Goldenrod City. Did either of you guys go into the underground tunnel inside Goldenrod City?
Yep, I fought everyone because I couldn't stop it.
You can give your hair Pokemon haircuts down there, too.
I know.
Which increases their happiness. So, if you get an Eevee...
I gave Firestorm a haircut.
There's a couple of Pokemon that evolve through happiness in the game.
Would it be a haircut or a fire cut? But yeah, I got the Machop I got is named Muscula. Musk.
I think it's just muscle. Yeah, it's the same for all of us. It's just muscle.
Yeah, okay. Muscle. All
right, and so then after Goldenrod City, what have you done?
So I did this bug challenge where you have to get the strongest bug type Pokemon, and I got third place.
Nice. What was the prize for third place?
Golden Berry.
Okay. If you get, what is it, first place you get, or second place you get the Sunstone?
Pretty sure it's first place.
Okay.
What?
That's also how you get Pinsir and Scyther in this game, is through the contest.
Because you get to keep Pokemon you catch. One Pokemon. The one you choose to enter.
Have you done the bug catching contest at all, Serenity?
I don't think so.
There's a park that if you go.
Yeah, I wandered around the park.
But you didn't talk to the people, or didn't instigate the...
I did not go into the grass very much.
What do I do about this jiggly tree?
You don't just go into the grass. You have to talk to a person inside the building and then get your special Pokeballs and they put you out in the grass.
And you only get one Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And if it
you can catch multiple Pokemon, but you only get to keep one.
Well, you only get to use one of your Pokemon.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You only get to use the first Pokemon in your party?
If the Pokemon was weak, I would just burn it and kill it.
Sure.
What do I do about this jiggly tree? Okay,
so the jiggly tree problem. That was a fun little hiccup for Ruby and I as well. So people have mentioned that the wiggly tree, it seems to be afraid of water or water can affect it or something.
Pseudo-woodle.
Right. Now, you want to be careful with this tree because this is, I think, the only Sudowoodo you can catch in the game. So if you want to catch a Sudowoodo, you have to catch this one.
Whatever, I don't want Sudowoodo.
Well, if you don't want it, you don't want it. That's fine. I'm just letting you know. So what you need to do is go back to Goldenrod City, and in the right corner, right as soon as you get in there, to the right side of the screen, up in a corner, there's a building, and the lady there will give you a squirt bottle.
I tried to just buy a water bottle on it.
I know, I tried that too. Ruby and I both did that.
But apparently it just heals your Pokemon.
Yeah. So yeah, then if you get the squirt bottle, once you squirt the tree, he'll attack you basically.
What?
So you'll be in a Pokemon battle. And then, so if you want to catch it, you might want to save before you get into the battle in case you fail. And then, with that tree out of the way, if you ever want to go back to New Barktown or Violet City and stuff, you just have to go on that path that he's blocking and to the right instead of having to go all the way back through like Union Cave and the forest and everything.
Wait, how do I keep a bicycle in my backpack?
Magic. It's fold-upable, it says.
Huh?
It's fold-upable, it says. Your mother says.
What you say, foldable?
Fold-upable works. In our world.
Okay.
I don't know where this building is.
It has flowers on it in crystal?
Oh, yeah, in Crystal, they make a big deal about it. That's right. There's a bunch of stuff in the front of the door.
Flowers?
Yeah.
Haven't I been here?
Maybe. I don't know.
I've gone here multiple times and talked to the people, and they never give me a gun.
Oh, that's fun. I talk to everyone all the time, and then your dad and his brother are like, "Oh, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're doing." It's good fun.
Wait, Uncle...
Now she's like...
Neither of us said anything of the sort.
Now she's like, "Do you want to borrow water?"
Yeah, I think you have to touch the tree first before she offers that.
I've touched it multiple times.
Yeah, but have you talked to that lady since then? So, besides all that then, what Pokemon have you caught, Rosella?
Caterpie?
You can always just look at your Pokedex. Yeah. And the ones with a Pokeball next to it, I think, right?
Yep. So, I have Cyndaquil, which evolved into Quilava because, yeah.
Yep.
Pidgey? Oh, I got a Hoot Hoot.
Nice. Not as good as your mom. She has two. I'm just teasing you.
Caterpie. Metapod. I've actually just caught the Metapod instead of evolving.
Oh, you didn't evolve it?
I ran into a Metapod and I'm like, it's at low health. I should catch it.
Sure.
Weedle. Okay, apparently I know both its evolutions somehow. A Ledyba. Noobat. Togepi.
Ah, yes.
Because of the egg.
Yep. And you have another egg from the daycare center, right?
Yep. Unknown. Bellsprout. That's who I cut to.
I think I did the same.
Hoppippi.
Hoppip?
Yeah.
Okay.
Paris. Wait, I caught a Paris. I didn't know this. Well, I caught an Oddish.
You definitely have some similarities to your mother.
Abra. I know Kadabra because I fought him.
Yep.
Nidoran, the boy. But okay. I want the girl. The girl's much prettier. I like her color a lot better. I got a Venonat. Ooh, I have a Machop.
Yep, because you traded for that. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I have a question for both of you. How did your battle with Whitney go, the gym leader in Goldenrod City, your third gym? Did you win the first time?
Yeah, I beat her up and then she started crying.
She does start crying. It's just so interesting to me because Ruby and I also did not have any troubles with her, but it is well documented from people in the past that she is a really difficult trainer and she usually catches people off guard with the rollout ability.
What's the rollout?
Oh, I almost didn't beat her, but I just kept sending out Pokemon and healed up my Firestorm.
What I taught you to do when we played Sword and Shield.
Yep. And then, pop, nice. Killed him.
So the rollout ability is a move that Miltank has. And what it does is, it does a decent amount of damage, but it just keeps happening. On each of her turns, it'll go again, and it gets stronger every time it goes. So if it knocks out, by the time it knocks out a Pokemon, if you haven't won yet, any Pokemon you bring out is probably going to get knocked out one hit. One hit. One hit. And so people just get, like, demolished. But, like, your strategy seemed to work. You obviously did just fine. Serenity.
Well, my Firestorm, like, with how much health she had, because I didn't have very many potions, because I forgot to fill up on potions, I was able to take, like, two hits, and then I would have been knocked out. And then my other Pokemon would have got a smidgy health or knocked out.
Yep.
So, I would have died. But when she was about to use it again, because my attack missed, it missed. And I'm like, maybe this will work. And I beat her.
Yay!
So one more hit, I would have been dead.
So it was a really close call.
Yeah.
Well, good job. I'm proud of you guys.
I mean, maybe I could have revived it and done something.
Yeah, now, so once you move the tree, if you keep moving north in a generally north direction, you have to kind of go left first, I think.
She won't give me the water. She says, do you want to borrow the water bottle too? I don't want you doing anything dangerous with it. And then she stops talking. I don't know what to do.
But once you do move the tree, if you keep moving up like towards the north area, you'll end up in Ecruteak City, which is your next gym. But this is also where you will meet Bill, the Pokemon, the guy who has the PC that you put all your Pokemon. And then he, after you talk to him, he will go back to Goldenrod City. So if you find him there, he will give you a Pokemon.
What Pokemon?
Eevee! So, yeah. Rosella was having troubles getting the water bottle because, well, I thought she just didn't, like, save after beating Whitney, but the problem was she didn't go back and talk to Whitney to actually get the badge yet, so she didn't have the third badge yet. Therefore, the water bottle wasn't given to her yet. But that's all been squared away, hasn't it?
Yep. Now I'm saving.
Do you actually have the badge then, too, Serenity, or did you not go back and talk to her?
I have no idea.
Where are you right now?
Goldenrod City.
If you hit start and look at your name and then go over one to see the badges, it'll show it.
Look at my name?
Yeah, so if you have that menu up where it says Pokedex, Pokemon, all that stuff, down a certain way, your name's there. Yep.
My egg.
And then if you move over one, do you see the badges? Is the third one spinning? Okay, you need to go back and talk to her.
It's a weird pluggy guy.
A pluggy guy? Oh, you got an Elekid?
Where you plug it in.
Nice. It's random what you hatch out of those, so that's really cool that you got the Elekid.
Where do you get Elekid?
I'm not sure. Well, I think you can only hatch them, actually. I think the baby ones you can only get by hatching. So you'd have to get an Electabuzz and breed them to get an Elekid. So
but I just got one from the Pokemon breeding.
That's awesome. Breeding. We all might have to trade that one around so we can all register.
But it's more.
Well, you'll get it back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now that we've covered all that, I think it's time for our newest Pokedex entries.
Who's that Pokemon?
Meganium, Herb, 154. Meganium's breath has the power to revive dead grass and plants. It can make them healthy again.
The aroma that rises from its petals contain a substance that calms aggressive feelings.
Anyone who stands beside it becomes refreshed, just as if they were relaxing in a sunny forest. Typhlosion, volcano, number 157. When heat from its body causes the air around it to shimmer, this is a sign that it is ready to battle.
It has a secret, devastating move. It rubs its blazing fur together to cause huge explosions.
If its rage peaks, it becomes so hot that anything that touches it will instantly go up in flames. For alligator, big jaw, number 160. When it bites with its massive and powerful jaws, it shakes its head and savagely tears its victim up.
Although it has a massive body, its powerful hind legs enable it to move quickly, even on the ground.
It is hard for it to support its own weight out of water, so it gets down on all fours, but it moves fast.
I am trapped in a department store.
You're trapped in a department store? What do you mean by trapped?
Just go all the way down the stairs, and then if you end up in a basement...
There's also an elevator.
Oh yeah. And then go on to 1F. Now that's the bottom floor.
All right. Pidgeotto, bird, number 17. It immobilizes its prey using well-developed claws, then carries the prey more than 60 miles to its nest.
It has outstanding vision. However high it flies, it is able to distinguish the movements of its prey.
It slowly flies in a circular pattern, all the while keeping a sharp lookout for prey. Flaffy, wool, number 180. Because of its rubbery, electricity-resistant skin, it can store lots of electricity in its fur.
Its fluffy fleece easily stores electricity. Its rubbery hide keeps it from being electrocuted.
As a result of storing too much electricity, it developed patches where even downy wool won't grow.
So with the Sudowoodo, I was on my last Pokeball, and if he didn't stay in the Pokeball, he would have gotten burned again and died.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught him.
Nice. That's cool.
Staryu, Starshape, number 120. At night, the center of its body slowly flickers with the same rhythm as a human heartbeat.
When the stars twinkle at night, it floats up from the sea floor, and its body's center core flickers.
Even if its body is torn, it can regenerate as long as the glowing central core remains intact. Yeah, and that is our Pokedex entries. Now it's time for us to tackle the first half of Pokemon Adventures Manga Volume 10. And to help us with that, we have brought back in Flame.
Hello!
I wasn't sure if he was going to be as interested since we've lost Gold as the main character, and now we're focusing on a new character.
Silver.
Crystal.
Oops. Same person.
Definitely not.
Close enough.
Isn't Crystal one of the games?
Yeah, so is Gold and Silver.
Why does the book have Gold and Silver written on it and not Crystal?
Because those were the first of the games to come out. Because when the games come out in pairs, and then they came out with a third one afterwards, after a bit. For the first four gens, at least. So this manga started with the Johto stuff, which is Gold and Silver.
Okay.
So before we jump into the chapters, actually, we have a nice little recap of what's been going on. So we have the journey thus far. Ecruteak City's Tin Tower, where the legendary Pokemon Ho-Oh is said to nest, has been destroyed by Team Rocket. And once again, the mysterious Masked Man is behind the crime. See, even the book calls it Masked Man. At the Lake of Rage, Gold and Silver take a stand against the Masked Man, but his overwhelming power defeats them both. And now, they've both gone missing. Meanwhile, in Viridian City, Blue takes over the position of gym leader, while Red and Yellow set off on a journey to Johto, and now another girl is about to begin her own adventure. We start off with Adventure 117, slugging it out with Slugma, and here Professor Oak is battling Slugma with Botch, his Ledyba, and Anch, his Stantler. So apparently he's got his own naming scheme of adding Ch at the end of his Pokemon stuff, because Stantler, Anch, that's part of the Stantler, it's the middle of it, but it's in there. Let him buzz the end. But when he throws a Pokeball to catch a Slugma, he fails. And he's frustrated that his old age is keeping him from collecting research data, as he isn't as good a trainer as he once was. He then looks at his third Pokedex and says it is the last one left after one was stolen by Silver, and one was taken by force, which seems not accurate because it wasn't taken by force.
He gave it willingly.
Right. I mean, Gold was relentless in asking for it, but he gave it to him like later after Gold jumped into the water and all that stuff with the exercising and everything. Because he didn't give it to him the first time when he was asking and begging for it.
Yeah.
At least I don't think he did. Anyway. Then he wonders if there is a trainer anywhere who can gather data for him. And we are treated to a splash page showing us a girl with pigtails that seem to defy gravity. And I think she has a quick ball in her hand.
She's probably jumping.
Except I think in all the pictures, her hair is that way. The pigtails bend up forward. Like, upward. Bend upward.
Maybe she used, like, hairspray or something.
Maybe.
She's just so bouncy and active that they're always going up.
That could be. But yeah, she has a quick ball in her hand, I believe, and then six Pokemon are shown behind her. There is a Parasect, an Arcanine, which one do you like?
It doesn't matter Arcanine. Anymore.
An Arcanine, a Cubone, a Hitmonchan, a Natu, and a Smoochum. Interestingly, almost all of them have something in common. Natu has a star birthmark, or sticker, or something, just under one eye. Hitmonchan has a star on a boxing glove, and Smoochum has a star pendant. And then, thanks to the cover, we can see that Cubone has a star sticker or crack on a skull helmet, and Arcanine has a collar with a star on it. And these all match the girl's star earrings.
I didn't notice that.
I don't think I put that all together when I first saw it, but I did notice a few of the star marks, and I was like, interesting.
So the only one I couldn't make out as having a star somewhere or something is Parasect.
Oh yeah, because one of the spots is a star.
Yeah, but it's not as distinct as the rest of them, which we learn later that that is what it is. It's a spot. That's a star. So then we get a scene where Bill video calls Professor Oak at his research annex just above Cherry Grove City, like just to the north of Cherry Grove City, I should say, not above, like he's not flying above the city.
He does fly later, so.
Apparently... not Professor Oak. That's who we're talking about. Professor Oak has a research annex, which is where Mr. Pokemon was. Where we talked to Mr. Pokemon. That's the research annex.
Oh, never mind.
Apparently, Bill found someone who is willing to take on Professor Oak's job. He wants somebody to go fill out the Pokedex. And they gave a location to meet up at, but they are also asking for some form of compensation. Okay, this person is some sort of capture specialist. So, desperate, Oak goes to meet this individual in Violet City. Then we get a look at the Pokemon Academy in Violet City, which is in both the anime and the game, and it looks rough. Much rougher than it did in the anime and in the game. A girl there, in an apron, is sweeping up the place, and Earl Dervish is there, like in the game and the anime episode. He even seems to whirl around like he does in the cartoon.
Which is funny.
But in this version, the students don't pay, and lately it's become a place for Pokemon and children who have nowhere else to be. So there aren't any funds to, like, keep the place in repair and all that stuff, and the girl is just doing volunteer work. And her name is Crystal. I know. Big shock.
Sure. It's definitely a big shock.
And she loves playing with the children and Pokemon there. Then some Slugma show up. Crystal starts hurrying everyone inside to be safe, and a Slugma shoots fire at her. Oak happens to be passing by just then and jumps into the fray to protect the girl. Despite being old, he can still battle, and he is sure that once the trainer he is planning on meeting shows up, then that guy will jump in and help too. But Crystal says that now that the others are safe, and only the little girl surrounded by Slugma is left, Crystal can now let loose. And she sends in those six Pokemon we mentioned before. Once the girl is able to escape from the Slugma, that means only the Slugma are left to deal with. Oak said he wanted to capture one, but... And Crystal hears that, and so she takes off her skirt and apron, much to Oak's embarrassment.
She had shorts on, though.
Yeah, I was getting there, but it's all okay, because she's wearing clothes underneath. And she sends in her Smoochum, Chumi, in with mean look, so that they can't escape. And then she brings in Parasy, her Parasect, to spore them, so stun them or put them to sleep, I'm not sure. Then she looks through her various kinds of Pokeballs and chooses a level ball, which she kicks at the Slugma and captures one. Oh, and Archie is her Arcanine, and Mon Lee is her Hitmonlee, so they all have the kind of E sound at the end of them. Oak wonders why she chose the level ball, and he's impressed she could tell that the Slugma were lower levels for her ball to work, as her Pokemon were higher levels. And then she says they have an appointment, revealing she is the person Oak was coming to meet.
And the reason she knew that was because of the attacks they used and stuff.
Ah, yes, that's how she knew that they were lower levels. She's Crystal, people call her the Capturer, and she says Oak can call her Chris. Days later, the wall of the academy is being repaired, and Earl is wondering how come and why he doesn't have to pay. Turns out Oak arranged it, and now Chris owes him one as he hands her a Pokedex. So that must be the reimbursement, or compensation. But Oak and her are all smiles, so it isn't like he was forcing her into it. I repaired this wall, so now you have to go do this. It was an agreement.
Yeah, and they both seem like happy with it and everything. Right. Not like, ugh, now I've got to do my part of the deal.
Right. And then we have some incident happening somewhere else. And just as the Capturer accepts the Pokedex from Professor Oak, out of the burned tower in Ecrateek City, fly three balls of light, streaking into the sky on the way to places unknown. But us who have played the game know exactly what those three lights were. It's just the three legendary beasts running off. The only difference with the beast leaving now is that in the game, we had to show up before they took off, whereas here, they're just flying off on their own. And now we move on to Adventure 118. Three cheers for Chikorita! So we start off with Oak giving direction on where he wants Chris to capture Pokemon. He wants her to start in Cherry Grove area and work further out, but she says she's already caught Pokemon there. She lists 30 Pokemon and says she'll start with the further places then instead. Oak expects her to take some of the Pokemon with her, but she says she likes to stick with her team. Oak thinks about how he's seen trainers great at battling, at training, and even reading Pokemon minds, but the Capturer is something new. Then, after she leaves, Elm shows up and freaks out at Oak because he was supposed to get him after finding Chris. Elm wanted to give the girl his last starter, the Chikorita. Apparently, the Chikorita has wanted adventures since Totodile and Cyndaquil have gone on theirs. Elm apologizes to Chikorita and that it won't work out this time, but then Chikorita scratches Elm and runs off to chase Chris down on her own. On Route 30, Crystal is battling a Victory Bell and she's going to have Archie do one more hit and then capture it. But Chikorita gets in the way, and Victory Bell uses it as a shield. Chris has Chumi use Mean Look again, and then she kicks two balls at the Pokemon and captures both Chikorita and Victory Bell. Chikorita doesn't want to be transferred to Oak and wants to join Chris, but Chris says she needs strong Pokemon, so Chikorita flexes her muscles.
I didn't catch that.
It's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the picture right now. That's hilarious.
When she lets Chikorita out, the Pokemon thinks she gets to come, but Chris is just going to show her how much difference there is between the Chikorita and Chris's other Pokemon. So Mon Lee battles Chikorita, but despite being outmatched, Chikorita holds her ground, and so Chris names the Chikorita Megaree. She warns that the journey will be dangerous and that her team all are given a star to wear in case they get lost. Which is actually kind of smart now, thinking about how Gold kept losing his Pokemon.
Ash lost his Pokemon at one point, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So did Misty.
And this is where we learn that Parasea already has a star pattern on its mushroom. And we learn that the star shape on Bony's skull was already there. It was just a crack in the star shape. So somehow she ended up with two Pokemon that already had kind of a star shape on them. And she asks Chumi to share its necklace. So Smoochum has to give its necklace to Megaree. And that's probably why we didn't see Smoochum on the cover of the manga book. Because Chikorita is taking over Chumi's position.
Yeah, Chumi gets sent back.
Yep.
Goodbye.
So Megaree is welcome to Team Crystal. Meanwhile, the professors are weeping because they can't get a hold of Crystal to keep an eye out for the runaway Chikorita, and they are sure the Pokemon won't survive in the wild. And then we move on to Adventure 119. A Flaffy Kerfuffle. Back in Violet City, the academy wall looks so much better, but Earl is still fretting about them not having any money, and the kids are all wondering where Chris is. She is peeking around the wall and listening in. She hopes they can hold on for a while as she works on her quest. Then she brings Megaree to the Pokemon Center so they can send Oak the Victory Bell that she just got.
And the other one.
Chumi.
Yeah.
But the transfer system is still down. Chris is concerned because she wants to send Chumi to Oak as well, so she only has 6 on her team. So she ends up calling Oak and talks with him and Elm, who are thrilled that she already has Megaree. And then, like, she talks about the whole six Pokemon thing, and so then Elm ends up asking Oak why it's a big deal to carry more than six for a bit. So we finally get a reason in the manga why you only carry six Pokemon, and whether it's forced or not. Apparently, it is possible to carry more than six Pokemon, but then they can't each get the attention and training that they need. So trainers in the field carry six, and even the Pokemon League decided that the best is a 6-to-1 ratio, six Pokemon to one person or trainer. So it doesn't sound like it's necessarily a legal thing. However, those that carry more are looked down on by other trainers and such, and so it does become sort of an honor shame thing then, because if everybody else is like, you're not allowed to have more than six, you're going to run into problems if you're carrying more than six.
And sometimes those kind of like just thoughts / laws are good, but then like sometimes people are stupid and make up their own idea of what people should act like.
For sure. I also kind of thought this was interesting because, like, we automatically were like, oh, Giovanni, you cheating jerk face. Because he had more than six Pokemon with him when he was battling Red. Remember?
Mm-hmm. As the gym battle?
Yeah. Well, sort of a gym battle. It wasn't really a gym battle. It was more of just because he didn't even get the badge out of it, remember?
Well, if it was a gym battle, then there would be a little bit more, like, probably law stated there.
But we automatically felt, like, antagonistic towards him for having more than six Pokemon as well. So it's just kind of funny how we end up developing the same kind of honor or shame kind of concepts here. Like, how dare you, you dishonorable man. So it is important that the transport system gets back online soon. Then on the outskirts of Violet City, Chris and Megary stop to get a drink at a river, but a boat drifts down with nobody on it. There's just a Flaffy hanging on and a Dunsparce on the Flaffy's tail. Chris tries to help and finds herself in the boat with the two wild Pokemon. So then she sends out Nati, her Natu, and it uses Psychic to weaken them. She uses the Pokedex to learn about Flaffy. Its fluffy fleece easily stores electricity. Its rubbery hide keeps it from being electrocuted. That sounds like the crystal entry we read earlier. Or actually, no, I think that's the silver entry. I think it might be the silver entry. And then she captures it. She turns to capture Dunsparce and finds it using its tail to drill a hole on the bottom of the boat. That's not a good idea.
It's trying to burrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she uses a Pokedex to find out why it's doing that. And they apparently like to escape backwards by boring into the ground with their tail. So the boat is flooding with water. And her and Dunsparce make a jump for the shore. Dunsparce is going to get away, but Chris kicks a Pokeball and captures it. But then the ball is going to fall into the water. Chikorita rushes over and tries to catch it and falls into the water herself. Chris saves Megary and Nati flies them both out of the water. And Megary reveals it did capture the Pokeball with Dunsparce in it. Looking at the wreckage of the boat, Chris finds someone's Pokegear and it starts shouting, "Hello!" As the voice keeps talking, the accent looked familiar. And yes, looked familiar because we're reading. Whoever it is needs help transferring Pokemon. And when Chris asks where the person is, he says, "Here." And up above her, a strange silhouette is waving.
Hi!
And so then we end up in Adventure 120, Surrounded by Staryu. Turns out that this figure is Bill! And he's riding on a Farfetch'd.
I didn't think that was possible.
Well, I think Farfetch'd can learn the fly move, so it is reasonable.
It just seems almost like penguins, the non-flying bird.
Oh, sure. He was looking for Chris and finds it lucky he found her and the boat at the same time. He has her hook his Pokegear up to her Pokedex. Apparently, he has designed a handheld storage system. Then we get a bunch of info about the seven Pokemon of Chris's team. And Chris is wondering why Bill doesn't come down, and he says he can't because he's surrounded by Staryu. They knocked him out of his boat, and now they chase him off again. He stays on the line with Chris and explains who he is and that he put the ad out for Professor Oak that led to Chris taking the capturing job. He says that he is the manager of the storage system and transport system, and even he doesn't know why it isn't working. But he seems to have found a way so that Chris doesn't have to keep going back to Oak to drop off Pokemon. But then the conversation is cut off, and so Chris follows the screams, riding on Archie, and arrives at a Ferris wheel where Bill is encased in a group of Staryu on one of the Ferris wheel cars.
wrapped up in a ball.
The little spikes on Staryu that make it a star, they're all, like, connected.
Yeah, all the tips are connected. So there's gaps in between, but...
Yeah, but not very big.
They're all facing inward.
Yeah.
Or punch one of the little gems.
Then you might kill it.
Oh.
I think that's their, like, life area. Because remember, it says they can even regenerate as long as the core is intact.
Well, they're capturing me, so...
I mean, yeah, if it's life or death situation, I'm going to start shattering some cores.
I'll try to only shatter they, like, one or two.
They literally drilled one of the cores with one of the Pokemon.
Did the core break, though?
It's definitely cracked.
Maybe it can't... Well, maybe it doesn't kill him, but maybe it can't regenerate anymore. Unless the... Although, I wouldn't be surprised if the cores get repaired at the Pokemon Center.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris tries to save... Bill, but the Staryu use Harden and then roll off onto a roller coaster. So it's like this big cage ball now. We get a Staryu Pokedex entry as Chris tries to think about how to save Bill. And Chris uses the handheld storage system to send Nati to Bill. And then Nati drill pecks the center of a Staryu, opening up a hole in the cage the Staryu had made themselves out to be. So that's the drilling part you just mentioned. Then she kicks a bunch of speed balls all at once and captures the group of Staryu. Once everything settles down, Chris seems super friendly. Like, she was all super serious and, like, in action mode, but now she's, like, bubbly and friendly and everything. Bill is going to get the exit part of this transfer storage thing to Oak. So Chris is storing it into the system, but they have to come back out of the system, right? So he's going to get that output area back to Oak, so that when she sends Pokemon, they come out to where Oak is. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But that means it won't work the other way around, so she can't, like, send Pokemon in and bring new Pokemon back out, like, normally is available. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but she likes her party of six.
Yes. Then she says that they should all have some fun at the amusement park until an Elekid shows up, and Chris goes back into serious mode, which confuses Bill how quickly she can switch her mood.
I like how Elekid is running away like, gotta go.
Oh, yeah, she's chasing it to go capture it, yeah.
It's like, oh no, scary lady.
Alright, so then, adventure 121, off course with Corsola. It's late, and a bunch of Pokemon are showing up for a very tired Professor Oak. Chris is capturing all kinds of Pokemon off of Route 32. She misses Chumi, and her and Chikorita enter Union Cave. So we've gotten through Violet City, we've explored a little bit beyond that, and now we're in Union Cave, headed to Azalea Town, right? She explains to Chikorita that it used to be the only way to the southern cities, but then they built roads a little further north, which is where, you know, the Sudowoodo was blocking a path at one point.
Yep.
And so nobody uses Union Cave anymore. They find a Magneton, strangely, inside the cave. Not a usual place to find one, and so Chris is going to capture it. But then three more show up, and together they capture her inside an energy pyramid type thing that seemed super familiar to something we'd seen before. Do you remember this?
Yes, I think so.
I don't remember it being...
Well, I remember it in the manga, but I think
that's what I mean.
I remember it in the manga.
It happened in the cave on that island where the Elite Four were. Bill was secure and safe inside an electric pyramid made by Magneton, by Lieutenant Surge's Magneton. Sure enough, they bring her back to a boat by some water in the cave and drop her in, and then its owner shows up, and it is Lieutenant Surge. The boat has a dome that goes over it so it can go underwater. And Surge radios ahead to Aqua, which is, I think, the name of the ship, and says he's on his way. The other voice mentions something about a secret passage. But then as Surge is about to dock with the ship, he gets stuck. A reef of Corsola stick to his boat, and he can't move. Then Chris wakes up, and Surge learns he has a stowaway. So he didn't purposely capture Crystal. The Magneton just decided to.
There's this lady here. I don't think we're going to capture her.
And then we get some Corsola information in a Pokedex entry. Surge says something about capturing the leader of the Corsola would stop them. And Chris hears the word capture and goes into serious mode. She has Natu do some tricky psychic stuff to force the boat up out of the water. Then she sends Natu out to get the leader. She kicks a lure ball at it and capture complete. and then all the rest of the Corsola leave. Chris asks about the boat, and the sailor explains that Lieutenant Surge is basically the captain of the Aqua, as he used to be the captain of a different luxury vessel, the SS Anne, which he was using to bring Pokemon to Giovanni. The sailor also explains that he is the Vermilion City gym leader, and that there are rumors that he is the boss of a criminal gang. And he was one of the leaders for Team Rocket, so we know that much. And I do find it interesting that it says he is the Vermilion City gym leader. So he must still hold that position. That's at least what it seems like. Surge interrupts the convo and points to Olivine City on the coast, as she must have mentioned to him that she wanted to make it to Western Johto. Because she had mentioned that at some point in a thought or something earlier, where she's like, I would really like to head to the west side of Johto. I haven't been there or something. As they arrive, Surge is a bit pushy, getting her off the ship, and the sailor thanks her for rescuing them. And now Chris is in Olivine City, which...
Yay!
Rosella and Serenity haven't quite got that far yet, but they're getting closer. And it's also, currently, how far we have made it. Like, we went through Olivine, but then back to Olivine to fight the gym. And now our final chapter for this week. Adventure 122, Querulous Quillfish. So while Chris walks toward the city with Natu on her head and Chikorita beside her, there is news from Goldenrod Radio about the legendary beast leaving the basement ruins of Tin Tower? Tin Tower? Should be Burn Tower.
They're confuzzled.
Researchers are there investigating. Then, in Olivine, we can see a tall building and also...
A lighthouse!
A lighthouse! Yeah. I like lighthouses. There is always a lighthouse.
Lighthouses are cool.
Oh, that's another thing I've been doing, or I was doing over break more. I haven't done it in a little bit now, is playing through Bioshock again since I got the trilogy for Switch. And Ruby likes to watch me play.
Gotcha.
It starts with a lighthouse.
I didn't see the lighthouse, so he is probably lying.
Well, by the third game, you learn there's always a lighthouse.
Really?
Always. You'll just have to watch me play through the whole series. You'll understand something.
Okay.
Anyway, there's a building currently being constructed, the tall building or whatever, and it is apparently... The Battle Tower, which is only in the Crystal game. Remember I told you the beach was extended and there was some other stuff going on?
Yep.
So the Battle Tower is being worked on in the Crystal part of the story of the manga. The liquid garbage tank on the construction site bursts and starts spilling into the ocean, and Chris says the pollution will make water Pokemon sick and mad. And sure enough, a bunch of quillfish show up. We get a Pokedex entry, and one shoots its needles.
Big one shoots its needles.
Yes.
Because one got really big.
Right. Well, they puff up. That's what they do.
Yeah, but like it got humongo dungo.
Chris says they'll stay mad until the water is cleaned up, so in the meantime, they need to be captured, and she sends out her whole team. She manages to kick Pokeballs all over and capture them, but then one rattles in the ball as if trying to communicate with her. It draws her attention to a quillfish that swallowed the polluted water and is dying.
Because they swallow it to get bigger. We found out.
Right. That's right. I forgot about that part. Is that in the Pokedex entry?
Probably.
I know an easy way to find out.
Working on it. Yeah, it needs to drink over 2.6 gallons of water all at once to fire its poison heals.
Yeah, there we go. She gets the sick quillfish and gets on Archie to bring it to the Pokemon Center, but then Suicune shows up and chases her down. It gets in her way and then shines a blinding light, and then it's gone. But the quillfish is breathing fine. And the pollution in the water is all cleaned up. Chris wonders if it was that Pokemon that did it, and what kind of Pokemon it was. Then Oak calls and tells her about the legendaries leaving Ecruteak's Burned Tower.
Hey, Burned Tower, not Tin Tower.
Yeah, that's because Oak knows what he's talking about, unlike those radio DJs. He mentions their names and says he wants info on them, but they won't be easy to locate. Chris explains she just met one and describes it, and she is more than willing to look for it, since she wants to meet it again. Oak is sure if anyone can get data on Suicune, then it is Crystal. And that's where we'll wrap up our manga coverage for this time, and we'll do more on our next Detour episode. With that completed, our next step is Pokemon cards.
Yay!
All right, who wants to go first?
Me.
All right, Rosella, go ahead.
Yay. Okay, so I got Larvitar, fighting type. Bun Eerie, normal. Professor Research. Discard your hand and draw 7 cards.
Oh, is it Professor's Research?
Ah, that makes so much more sense.
I thought his name was Professor Research.
Exactly. Pinsir, grass type. Janine's Secret Art. Choose up to 2 of your dark type Pokemon. For each of those Pokemon, search your deck for a basic dark type energy card and attach it to your Pokemon, then shuffle your deck. If you attach energy to your active Pokemon in this way, it is now poisoned.
Oh, I've seen that card used against me in a Pokemon battle before.
Bronzong, a metal type. Ooh, it has an ability. Protective Bell. All of your Pokemon take 10 less damage from attacks from your opponent's Pokemon after applying weaknesses and resistance. Techno Radar, a future card. You can use this card only if you discard another card from your hand. Search your deck for up to 2 future Pokemon, reveal them, and put them into your hand, then shuffle your deck. Maximum Belt, and it's like a pink card.
Oh, you got one of the pink cards.
It's really pretty.
I've seen that a tool used against me as well.
Maximum Belt. Attacks used by the Pokemon this card is attached to do 50 more damage to your opponent's active Pokemon EX before applying weaknesses and resistance.
Is there something special with the pink?
Yeah, I think you only have like 1 in your deck or something.
You can't have more than 1 ACE spec card in your deck. It's rare. Hippowdon, fighting type. Friends in Paldea, draw 3 cards, but full art. And it's 2 stars. And then a metal energy.
All right, Serenity.
Okay. Lopunny. Friends in Paldea, draw 3 cards.
Not the full art.
Right, but that's also the card she just showed up.
Bronzer.
I also have the evolution. Hammering. I just got it.
Furfrou.
Ooh, pretty puppy.
This Pokemon takes 20 less damage from attacks after applying weakness and resistance.
That's an ability.
Great Tusk. Land collapse ability. Discard the top card of your opponent's deck. If you played an ancient supporter card from your hand during this turn, discard 3 more cards in this way.
It's an ancient card.
Nice.
Ooh. Another ancient card. Professor Sada's Vitality. Choose up to 2 of your ancient Pokemon and attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to each of them. If you attached any energy in this way, draw 3 cards.
Suicune!
Ooh, Suicune!
Suicune!
It's
nice.
One of the legendary dogs.
Legendary. Carmine, trainer. If you go first, you may use this card during your first turn. Discard your hand and draw 5 cards.
Sneasel! Sylveon! I want that card.
Nice.
Ooh, what's the ability?
Safeguard. Prevent all damage done to this Pokemon by attacks from your opponent's Pokemon EX.
What?
Basic energy.
Oh yeah, what did you have on your packaging, Rosella?
Oh, I had Jolteon, Vaporeon, and Flareon! The first 3 Eevee evolutions.
And we're all opening prismatic evolutions.
Yep. Yes. From Scarlet and Violet.
And Serenity, what was on your package? Do you remember?
A pink Eevee.
Umbreon and Espeon, I think.
The Johto Eevees.
The nighttime and daytime one.
Yep. All right. Flame, your turn. What's on your package?
Eevee and Sylveon. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Sylvie and Sylveon. All right. And for my cards, I got Execute.
That's cute.
Larry's Skill. I've seen this card. I have it in my deck in the game. Discard your hand and search your deck for a Pokemon and a supporter card and a basic energy card. Reveal them and put them in your hand. Then shuffle your deck. Dunsparce. Black Belt Training. During this turn, attacks used by your Pokemon do 40 more damage to your opponent's active EX before applying weakness and resistance. Janine's Secret Art. Bronzong.
That's the exact same one as mine.
Techno Radar, future card.
There we go, got one of those too.
Hippopotas.
I got the evolution.
Yes, you did.
Another black belt training card.
Ooh, but this one's reverse holo.
Oh yeah, it is. Let's see that. Blood Moon Ursula.
Ursaluna.
Blood Moon Ursaluna.
I want that.
Ability, Battle Harden. When you play this Pokemon from your hand onto your bench during your turn, you may attach up to 2 basic fighting energy cards from your hand to this Pokemon. And then for my basic energy, I got a Dark.
Alright, my first Pokemon is Houndoom. Evolves from Houndour, Dark type. Supporter Trainer card, Professor's Research. Applin, Grass type. Goldene, Water type. Ability, Festival Lead. If Festival Grounds is in play, this Pokemon may use an attack it has twice. If the first attack knocks out your opponent's active Pokemon, you may attack again after your opponent chooses a new active Pokemon. There's like fireworks in the background and stuff on this card.
Oh, that's cool.
That's definitely useful to get prize cards.
Diplin evolves from Applin. Grass-type ability. Festival Lead. Same exact ability as the last one.
Oh, you got a couple that are like the whole Festival Lead thing. Interesting.
Item, trainer card. Earthen Vessel, ancient. You can use this card only if you discard another card from your hand. Search your deck for up to 2 basic energy cards, reveal them, and put them into your hand, then shuffle your deck. Heatran, steel type. Reverse holo, Badoo, grass type. Another reverse holo, Janine's secret art. My rare is Fezzendipity, psychic type.
You traded me a Fezzendipity last time.
Adrena Ferrum, ability. If this Pokemon has any dark energy attached and is damaged by an attack, flip a coin if heads prevent that damage. And my energy is water type.
Nice. Alright. I have Larvitar. I have Houndour for your Houndoom. I have Dusclops, evolves from Duskull, ability Cursed Blast. Once during your turn, you may put 5 damage counters on one of your opponent's Pokemon. If you use this ability, this Pokemon is knocked out. Sneasel, dark type. Great Tusk, ancient Pokemon, fighting type. Another ancient card, Professor Sada's Vitality, like Serenity Gat. Ooh, I also got Suicune.
Nice! Suicune's awesome.
Water type.
I want a Suicune.
Ooh, I also got Janine's secret art, but mine's a reverse holo version of it. I got a reverse holo Furfrou, colorless type. Ooh, and I got Jolteon.
Fun.
Lightning type.
I know you like all the evolutions.
Jolteon's one of your tops.
Ooh, yeah, one of his abilities does an extra 90 damage if he's going up against an EX or Pokemon V. And then my energy is a holo electric energy.
Nice. Perfect.
Alright, so that's our episode. Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and other podcasting platforms. So go ahead and leave your comments, like, subscribe, rate, and review. We also have our episodes going up on our YouTube channel at Hunterfield Institute. And you can also connect with us at our Facebook page, Routes Through Pokemon. And I'm also on Instagram at kinetic_card and X at Hunterfield Inns. You can also email us at hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com. And now that we have taken a little break for these video game segments and manga, we are jumping back into the anime with 7 episodes next week. And then the week after that, it is Pokemon Forever, the 4th Pokemon movie.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm very excited to finally watch it since everybody keeps telling me how much they like it and want to talk about it. We plan to have Frank Future back for that episode, so that'll be exciting as well. But for now, we're going to sign off, so thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next round.
Bye-bye!
Bye. Sayonara!
Bye! Adios!
Part 31, The Rival, Part 2.
Oh no, not Stunspore again.
Murasaki quickly shielded his face with his arms. But nothing happened. The Pokemon standing on the ground before him made a small cry. Carefully, the boy peeked through his arms to see his new partner, an Oddish, and saw it waggling the leaves sprouting out the top of it. The Pokemon was trying really hard to do something. Still, no spores came.
You can't do Stunspore yet, can you?
The leaves wilted down around its little body, and it stared at the ground.
Hey, that's okay. You'll learn eventually. And really, right now, I think it's probably good you haven't.
The Pokemon looked up at Murasaki with a curious expression.
Look, I was already stunned once, and we're partners now, so you shouldn't be stunning me at all.
The boy stepped closer to the Oddish and extended his hand toward it, palm up.
Sound good?
The Oddish just stared at the hand for a bit and then looked back and forth between it and Murasaki's face. After a few more seconds of seemingly trying to decide how to handle the situation, the Pokemon took a step toward the hand. Then it tried to Stunspore him again. Murasaki rolled his eyes and sighed.
Oh, come on, just climb up.
He pushed his hand closer, and the Oddish panicked and stumbled backward. Shaking his head, Murasaki gently scooped up the Pokemon and placed him on his shoulder.
There, how's that?
The Oddish immediately tried to stun the boy again. Murasaki's mouth twitched upward in amusement. Shaking his head again, he patted the Oddish and then started back toward home, just as his mom had told him to. He was still a couple houses down when Murasaki's sister saw him and started announcing it loudly for their mom to hear. The woman soon joined her daughter as they waited for the boy to reach them. Murasaki was excited to share his misadventure into getting his Oddish, and his sister was just excited to hear. What the boy failed to notice was that behind his mother's smile, there was a mix of fear and loss. The three entered the house as Murasaki explained how he had been stunned by a gloom and was just barely allowed to take the little Oddish. His mother lightly reprimanded him for being so careless and warned him he should pay better attention once he heads out on his journey.
Kind of odd for your Pokemon to be riding on your shoulder, isn't it?
Murasaki's sister asked. The boy shrugged.
Well, it is called an Oddish, isn't it?
I suppose.
But that isn't what you're going to keep calling it, is it?
His mother asked.
You'll be giving it a proper nickname.
Murasaki shrugged again.
Maybe, if I think of anything good.
His mother eyed him skeptically.
Murasaki?
The woman warned.
What?
I thought you promised Erica you were going to take good care of that Pokemon. It seems you're already losing interest.
Looking a little sheepish, Murasaki took a sip of the tea his mother had set out in front of him. Then he took a bite of the lunch she prepared.
Yeah, no, I'll name it. Maybe something like Stunner or something, since he keeps trying to hit me with Stunspore.
At those very words, Oddish once again stretched its leaves at Murasaki and squinted hard. Still nothing happened. The boy's sister giggled in amusement.
Well,
his mother started.
Where are you planning to go first? You're trying your luck with Erica here in town, or are you headed to one of the other gyms?
Murasaki scratched at his head, hesitant to answer.
Actually, I was thinking I would go to Lavender Town first.
What? Why?
His little sister asked.
I want to visit the Pokemon Tower.
His mother looked confused.
The Pokemon Cemetery? Why in the world would you go there first?
Oh, I know.
The little girl exclaimed, excited she knew the answer.
He always wanted a Ghastly. He's going to try and catch one.
The look on his mother's face told him she disapproved. He knew she was thinking that getting a Pokemon he thought was cool would distract him from caring for Oddish. The poor grass Pokemon was already on the way to being replaced.
That's not true. Exactly.
Oh, really?
His mother raised an eyebrow.
I want a Gengar, actually.
Uh-huh. So you're still going there to catch a Ghastly.
Well, yeah, most likely. But she said that's what I really wanted, and it isn't.
The woman sighed.
I can't stop you, Murasaki. You know that. But I would make sure to take extra good care of that Oddish. Otherwise, I'd hate to see what happens to you when you finally challenge Erica.
Murasaki didn't answer and wisely finished his food in silence. He knew he would just dig himself into a deeper hole if he tried to justify himself. He also understood what his mom was saying, and thought she could be right. But he wasn't sure, and really, if he had powerful enough Pokemon, what could Erica really do to him anyway? Before long, Murasaki was packed and giving goodbye hugs to his mother and sister.
I expect you to come back and visit often,
his mother said. Murasaki nodded, waved goodbye, and headed out on his very own Pokemon adventure. To be continued.